Hello, I'm Nigel Reid and welcome to the Cricket Canada Report alongside former Canadian international batsman Zubin Sakari and broadcaster and cricket writer Faraz Sarwat. Faraz, interesting piece on ESPN Crick Info, looking back at the first anniversary of the change in presidency of Cricket Canada. Ravin Murthy's now been at the helm for exactly 12 months. We'll welcome him on to the show in just a moment for his thoughts. But firstly, your thoughts on what you wrote for Crick Info. I'm not quite sure what to take. I read the piece, whether or not the outlook is a little brighter and whether we should be wearing sunglasses or whether we're about the same or whether there are still huge challenges ahead for cricket at a national level in this country.
Well, it is hopeful. I'm not sure if it's time to bring out the sunglasses yet, but it's certainly brighter than it was. I think that indications are that cricket in this country is on the right path. Cricket Canada is on the right path. The obstacles that the organization has faced have been quite huge. And it's, you know, not something that's down to the last few years. It goes back decades. And repairing that kind of thing takes time. And I certainly do think that a year isn't a long time to judge the performance of the president. But certainly, I think that he has taken the steps to kind of get things moving in the right direction.
So we're not necessarily judging the personality, but we certainly can pass judgment to an extent on the performance of the team. And you're fairly critical of what the team has achieved in terms of results over the last 12 months.
Yes, and I would actually take it back even further than 12 months. The progress that the organization is making, I think, unfortunately, sometimes is out of the limelight and is behind the scenes. And all of that is certainly important. But if you look at the average fan, what do they care about? You know, they care about the results on the field of the team and may not necessarily understand the intricacies and the complexities of what happens behind the scenes. So if you just go by how the team is doing, well, not that good. And that's not to say that things will not get better, and I think certainly can get better. There just needs to be perhaps a rejigging of a few things.
Zubin, from a player's perspective, on and off the field over the last 12 months, do you feel more optimistic about the future for Canadian players, your generation and the next generation, in terms of facilities available, funding, and in terms of results on the field? Because if the sport wants to be taken seriously and appeal to a wider audience, it doesn't really matter what the sport is. Fans want to see a winning team.
It'd be harsh to judge Cricket Canada's progress with what has happened on the field. And like Faraz says, in, you know, not just the last 12 months, but prior to that, we haven't been performing that well. But we had massive problems in the past with something as small as visas or clothing or access to doctors. And those things have all been resolved. They've got 6 staff members in place now. The media, the social media, the access to actually speaking with somebody from Cricket Canada. These are all things that are going to benefit the team and players coming into the team going forward.
And is that actually going to translate into success on the field? That's what the followers and the fans of the game want to know.
It has to. It's difficult because it's also a transition period within the team. You know, I mean, it is a young team and they're missing some experienced players, but you know, that's coming along. Things are happening.
Let's widen the conversation and welcome the President of Cricket Canada on the line from Calgary, Ravin Murthy. Thanks for joining us on the Cricket Canada Report.
Thanks for having me on.
So firstly, let me ask you, Rav, if you were marking yourself over the last 12 months of your presidency and what you've been able to achieve, what sort of grade would you give yourself?
You know, Nigel, we all want to give ourselves A-plus grades, but I think the reality is, you know, we're about halfway to where we want to be. We've managed to turn the ship around, and I think now it's a question of getting it momentum. So what Faraz has just said, that we look to the performance of the senior men's team to judge our progress, and from that measuring stick, it hasn't been good.
Do you think Faraz's column was unfair on Cricket Canada?
You know, I continue to really appreciate Faraz's contribution to the discussion in Canadian cricket. I don't know that I share his viewpoint about some of the missing bits and pieces and you know, perhaps strategic blunders before the World Cup and things like that. But I'm very positive about our team, our players, and what we can achieve as a group. And when I went to that World Cup, yeah, we didn't get the result that maybe we were hoping for as fans, but from an administrator standpoint, to be able to look and see so many products of our under-19 system playing in the World Cup, to me, shows that, you know, we are pointed in the right direction. And like every team, whether it's been Ireland, whether it's been Scotland, whether it's been Netherlands, in the last decade, you know, they've been forced into a refresh or a retooling of their teams because they've missed the World Cup, and they had an opportunity to look at themselves and go, yep, we missed out. What do we have to do to get back there? And in our situation, we've been trying to retool as we go along. So these periods in between World Cups are when we unfortunately have to refresh the team, and that's where we are now.
Well, it's always an evolving process for us, and I think the point that you were trying to get across was that, in your opinion, that there were too many young players thrown in at the deep end altogether, and I suppose it doesn't really matter what the sport is. You always need that blend of youth and experience. Was that the sort of tone you were taking as far as that particular side of the subject was concerned?
I think that would be fair to say. I mean, the young players in the team, they are all talented, and one or two of them I thought were maybe rushed in a little bit sooner than they needed to be, and they all, in my view, have bright futures playing cricket for the country and representing the country. But I guess, as I said in the article, that they're all talented but maybe need to be surrounded by a couple of more experienced hands, because they tend to look a bit brittle when they're out there all together. And, you know, two young players batting and the next one coming in is also a youngster. I think, you know, maybe you do need some more experienced players in there. Now, I do think that Cricket Canada was in a difficult position, because on the one hand, you don't get a number of overseas tours and get to play quality opposition. So you're in a position where you have to think, okay, do we send in the young players, expose them now, and this will benefit us in the long term? Or do we kind of try to win some games and make sure that we put our best 11 on the field? So it's short-term gain or long-term gain. And I don't think that there's necessarily a right or wrong answer. It's a question, I think, of maybe perspective. But in this case, I thought that one or two players might have been a good idea, but maybe not the bunch that came in at the same time.
It's unfortunate that your experienced players are usually your older guys, and then the older guys also have commitment issues to be able to take the time to go to the tours and to actually train and stuff. I mean, there's a guy, Damodar Dasrat, who's, you know, he's coming to the team, or a guy like
Henry Osinde,
mm-hmm. Guys who can't get, maybe not be able to take the time off, or their commitment to the teams are tough, you know. So even Ashish Bagai, who's got a career, who's maybe starting a career outside, so it's difficult to get the experienced guys in there consistently.
One of the points that your article addressed was whether or not it's too late for the old guard to be brought back, and whether or not the door is or still should be open to those more seasoned players. Rav, what's your thoughts on this? I mean, has that boat sailed and we need to move on with the next generation?
From a policy standpoint, the door is open to anyone that can, you know, play for this team. But the reality is, it's a high-performance sport. It's going to require professional commitment. And, you know, the sacrifice that the players have made over the last 30 years for this country has been nothing short of amazing since we started playing in these World Cups. We need to be, you know, moving together as a professional outfit, and that's going to take some sacrifice and dedication from everybody involved. So the door is not closed. We're asking the players to either commit to, you know, playing domestically in Canada and being part of our National Cricket League setup, or if they've got a good grade cricket gig overseas, to continue to play that, and we'll make arrangements for them to join the team as and when necessary. The struggle that Canada has always faced is with the size of the country and then having players even based overseas. Even now, you know, we have players in Vancouver, Calgary, Nitish Kumar is in England, and then we've got a nucleus in Ontario. So getting everyone together is a challenge. It's again, it's not like, you know, maybe Ireland was, you know, 5 years ago, where, you know, they can drive and take the bus and, you know, take a train and all be together. And then when they go off to their county commitments and then come back, they're able to have that relationship because they're together all the time. We haven't had that kind of fortune. Not bemoaning it, it's a reality that we have to face and continue to push forward.
So is it realistic to expect these players to commit to, as you say, the National Cricket League when clearly they have other commitments? You may not be able to pay them on central contracts or pay them enough to be able to allow them to focus their attention on playing professionally for Canada.
Well, I think it is realistic. I mean, one of the things that we've strived to do, and as Zubin alluded to, we have improved the communication with the players. So as it is, as of you know, the end of last year, the players knew what the dates of the National Cricket League are. So they're able to make arrangements with their employer or their school. You know, obviously it's in the summertime, so maybe school is not a factor, so that we can have our core contracted players available, plus, you know, the other players around. It's a good group of 25 to 30 players, and we got to see which ones put up their hand, you know, come committed, come in shape, and then either perform at the NCL or in their league, wherever they're playing overseas, or, you know, perform for the national team on the world stage.
Logistics are always going to be a problem, as you say, just in terms of the size of the country and where these players happen to be playing. Let me make sure I've got this correct. As far as coming into the Canadian Canadian national team, or perhaps coming back to the Canadian national team fold, is correct? Are you making a condition of that to be part of the NCL? And if so, if these experienced players have kind of been there and done it before, is that really necessary?
Yes, we want everyone to play in the NCL, but if you've got a legitimate cricket gig somewhere else in the world, you know, we would, you know, very happily issue an exemption from playing in the NCL. The reality is, however, that, you know, we've struggled in this country with you know, what's a 50 in Calgary worth versus one in Edmonton versus one in Vancouver versus one in Toronto and one in Quebec. So we have that issue. So having a good tournament, not just over 4 or 5 days, cram everybody in as fast as we can. You know, they don't even have time to have a decent sleep and a meal before asking them to play. We're doing this in a couple of formats of the game over an extended period of time so that players feel comfortable. And it's not necessarily about runs on the score sheet. We don't pick teams based on statistics, but the players have to show the selectors something that shows that they will be able to cope up at the international level. And that's, you know, what we've done, you know, not just in last year, but over the last 4 or 5 years, consistently having domestic tournaments so that players can see the level and go, okay, you know, I feel like I'm doing well in Winnipeg, but when I get to Toronto and I face Henry Ofindi, you know what, I just don't have it. And, you know, players will be able to at least understand for themselves, yeah, you know what, this is what I need to do to improve it.
Is this a fair point from a player's perspective in terms of the quality of leagues on offer and the qualities of pitches on offer? From what you've seen in your travels around Canada, is there that much of a disparity that a decent player in Winnipeg is just an ordinary player in Toronto?
To some extent it is. I mean, it's kind of the harsh reality. Look, we have a massive population of cricketers here. But what I think this NCL does is it's a tournament that's now on the fixture schedule. I've pushed to say, listen, no club cricket goes on in that time, so everyone's available. Let's get the best out there. So guys do know what it's like to face a Henry Ofindi or Jeremy on full tilt at his fittest on a good wicket. And that's great. You know, it shows a standard. And then there might be somebody that goes, you know what, this guy can play.
Yeah, and that's, you know, as Revan said, that's, you know, one of the positive steps that is happening is first of all, the recognition that, you know, a 50 in this city versus a 50 in another city might be a completely different score depending on the ground you're playing, on the opposition you're playing. And the NCL certainly does level the playing field in a manner of speaking and you know, allows, you know, players to really test their mettle against some of the better talent in the country. So that's certainly heartening. And as is the fact that it's, you know, selection isn't going to be solely based on statistics. It's going to be based on, you know, ability. So I think these are all positive steps and they bear fruit kind of later on. There are no quick fixes.
We have a good young nucleus. We're short, you know, a couple of, you know, senior guys to come in and bolster this lineup. You know, it's up to them to come and show their mettle. And I wanted to touch on your other point. Are we going to say to a player who's kind of been there, done that, you don't have to come back and prove your worth? And to me, you know, if you're an athlete and if you're a competitor, you want to prove that you can still do it. And if you've been out of, you know, top-level cricket for a couple of years, there's no guarantee that you just walk back into the side. And, you know, we've invited a lot of players, but, you know, people, again, you know, it's all these things that people don't see behind the scenes. We're working with these guys. We're trying to get players into the setup, you know, from the time, you know, the team has been training in the last year. There's always different players invited, and there's open invitations to a lot of these former players to come back, you know, and show what they've got. But it's a commitment that's got to come two ways, and they also need to know that, you know, for as many guys as there are in Toronto and Vancouver and Calgary, there are guys, as Lubin says, out east, you know, in Winnipeg, that are as talented but just haven't got the exposure or haven't got the experience necessarily on turf. And when they come to the NCL, all this comes together, and we get our best cricket product. And from there, the selectors, the coach, the high-performance group will look at that and go, you know what, this is the team that's going to take us to the qualifier.
Well, talking of talent, Rav, whenever a conversation is surrounding the national team, no conversation is complete, and the name's already come up here. Ashish Bagai, I don't know how much you can say, but I'm sure our listeners would like to know where Cricket Canada stands with Ashish Bagai and whether they are going to see him in a Canadian uniform again. What can you say on that?
Discussions are ongoing. We expect to have a final decision one way or another probably in the next week to 10 days. We're very positive. I think Ashish had some concerns about, you know, the state of the organization when he left it 2 years ago. And I think, you know, it's been a real pat on the back, and you ask, you know, to kind of, you know, grade the performance. I think you look and you say, a guy like this, who means everything to Canadian cricket, is saying to us, you know, he sees the progress. And he can say, yeah, you know, guys, I can see that some of the things that I'd raised concerns about are being addressed. So we hope that, you know, we can get his name on the contract. And I will tell you to this day, Nigel, in 2009, when I signed him to a contract, put his name on a contract, I thought that was the best thing that Canadian cricket has ever done. So to be able to do it again, I think, would be just a fabulous thing.
Ravin, we appreciate your honesty and candor as far as that's concerned. One more point before we let you go. Important couple of days for Cricket Canada, because you've been in discussions again with Sport Canada, trying to presumably get some money out of them. Where are you up to?
Well, we met with the Director General of Sport Canada today. Our CEO flew to Ottawa to do that. That itself was seen as a real good step in the right direction. I think they understand, coming out of a meeting, how serious we are about this and how concerned we are about the funding picture. And, you know, we want to be able to now show results. The time for this dialogue has kind of expired, and we want to see some results from Sport Canada. And having good systems in place and having good funding, we just saw yesterday, you know, with Tennis Canada, yes, they have a star player, and that's part of it, but they've been doing things right for a long time, and that's bearing fruit for them now. And to have the Canadian tennis team in the Davis Cup semifinal is fabulous, and that's the kind of support we need from our government to push Cricket Canada into the next two World Cups. So we expect, you know, we're hoping to hear back in the next, you know, 3 to 5 days. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, the government has been great, the minister has been fabulous, but Sport Canada has to now stand behind this organization. It's been a decade-long problem, at least, and I don't know how much further it goes back beyond that, but the time for talk is definitely over, and we need to see some action from Sport Canada.
Keep smiling. Thank you so much for your time.
I always do. Thanks, Nigel.
That's Ravin Murthy, the president of Cricket Canada. I'd like to thank him, and also Farah Sarawat and Zubin Sakari. Interesting discussion. I'm Nigel Reed. Thanks so much for joining us on the Cricket Canada Report.